I'm Stuck Mike in the studio at EAA Radio for AirVenture Oshkosh 16. This was the first year of the EAA Founders Innovation Prize, which is a program intended to develop new ideas and offerings that can help reduce loss of control incidents. The winner of the program is Ihab Awad, who is visiting with us today. Thanks, Ihab, for joining us.
Good morning, and thank you very much for having me.
Also, Paul Prydecker and Digital Dave, because I can't ask these questions without an adult in the room. So
we're here for you, Mike.
Yes, we'll keep you out of trouble.
So, Ihab, the big news from a certain perspective is that you just won $20,000.
Technically,
it's $25,000. The tax man is going to take some of it.
Of course.
And so that is intended to fund a project which is called?
Airball.
Talk about the winning project, if you would, please.
So one of the things that I've noticed is that in VFR flight, we fly blind. I know that sounds rather strange, but we don't really measure the air data properly. We don't actually measure our angle of attack, angle of yaw, and indicated airspeed in one unified whole and present it to the pilot. And so my proposal really is to do two things. First of all, to actually go ahead and measure these interesting variables, because you know what? We're talking about loss of control of aircraft, and for the loss of control incidents we're talking about, each loss of control of the aircraft is preceded causally by the loss of control of the relative wind. And then I think we have to present the relative wind in a very intuitive fashion in the cockpit so that at a glance, a pilot can just grab their air data state with one look of their eye and then look back onto the real horizon where their eye really should be most of the time.
So the data is coming instantaneously, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
That's superb.
Thank you.
And you're not so much concerned with aircraft orientation to the Earth as to the relative wind.
I am not, and the reason is we crash our airplanes in the loss of control incidents we're talking about in day VFR conditions when it's quite obvious what the orientation is. But you know what? The airplane, as Stick and Rudder reminds us, does not care which side the greasy side is facing. It only cares about the relative wind, and that's what determines control.
So let's talk first about the data collection part, and then let's talk about the display and pilots' attention focus. First about the data collection. How are you doing that?
Well, so there are many ways to do it. In the prototypes we've constructed, we've just scrubbed data out of a Dynon D10A, which has an AOA measurement.
Sure.
And we've estimated the angle of yaw by simply dividing the ball signal, which is lateral acceleration, by the square of the indicated airspeed. This gives us good enough data. What I hope to do, with the help of the funding that we just received, is to build a family of proper air data probes, and to build it in such a way that a hobbyist or a small manufacturer can do it without a lot of expensive manufacturing. Air data probes that are used in professional flight testing are usually very small and skinny, and they require lots of wind tunnel calibration, and they end up costing thousands of dollars. I believe we can do much better than that with an air data probe that's chunkier, but it's good enough for the VFR airplanes we fly, and which uses the $40 pressure sensors that you can buy off the internet.
Do you envision your probe being a replacement for like a pitot tube head?
I would, although initially, as a minor modification for AOA, it could be an addition.
So when I think of loss of control, I think of two venues for that. I think about the, base to final turn, and then I also think about VFR flight into instrument conditions. It sounds like this is really directed to the former, where we're talking about it's a clear day, we're just in the pattern, and we're paying more attention to outside than inside data. So is this how you see that?
That is exactly how I see it. And it's not just base to final. It's general maneuvering flight, mm-hmm. where we pay more attention to our maneuvers and we start driving the airplane like a bus and forget that it's an airplane.
So then the second part might be computation and display. Talk about how your concept would play out there.
Right. So the display part is actually the main contribution that we're making here. And the idea is very, very simple. So imagine if your air data were just this big arrow that points where it's coming from, where the air is coming from, and it's bigger when the air is stronger and smaller when the indicated airspeed is lower. If you looked out your window, what would you see? Well, you'd see the point of the arrow. Basically, what I'm building is something similar to an artificial horizon where the air dot, a big ball, moves in relation to the instrument, and it just is coming from the direction the air is coming from. So it shoves over to the left if you're side-slipping to the right. And it turns out this actually works the same way as a regular ball. You kick the rudder to correct it. And it goes down as the angle of attack increases, because that's where your air is coming from, and you dive into it in order to increase your airspeed and reduce your angle of attack.
And physically, where is it located? I mean, from the pilot's perspective, where is he looking?
So my hope is that in a retrofit to an aircraft, this would be similar to where you put AOA gauges today. So a smallish instrument mounted near the glare shield, the pilot can scan it very quickly and look back. In the future, it would be great to have this done as a heads-up display. There are lots of head-mounted displays that are coming into the market, and I hope we see more of those in aviation, and certainly that would be there as well. But the most important thing is in a place where the pilot can scan it very quickly and look back at the horizon.
Okay, and the goal is to keep it, literally keep it centered.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Keep it centered and at the right angle of attack.
What's the next step for you? Where do you go from here?
To my mind, the next step is to figure out how to get this into the hands of pilots and students as soon as possible. We haven't really had time to make all the necessary investigations, but one of the things I would love to do is if I could build some of these probes using 3D printing and basic, you know, very simple hobby electronics, and put them in, just clip to the strut of a bunch of airplanes in a local flying club. The flying club I fly at in Retail View Airport really emphasizes stick and rudder flying and tail draggers. And just have flight instructors and students try it out and give feedback.
Ring it out, so to speak.
Correct, exactly.
Yeah. Your idea here is it's really interesting, and of course it addresses, you know, a major safety concern. From start to finish, how long have you been thinking about this? Did you have a lot of time, or what was your development time?
I've been thinking about this from way before the EAA's competition, and when I saw the competition, I was like, well, I really have to submit this.
That was about a year ago, right?
That was about a year ago. So the genesis of this idea is a little bit spotty, because it started when we had the accident at San Francisco Airport with Asiana, where the pilots were not aware of basically the energy state of their aircraft. However, the solution that I have is not for the kinds of air transport aircraft that Asiana typifies. It is for the kinds of aircraft I fly.
Sure.
Are you going to take into account airspeed and indicating when you're getting close to a stall?
Absolutely. So the stall boundary is marked at the bottom of the instrument. For those who have seen it, there's a sort of hash mark red symbol down there that I refer to as the cowcatcher. So you want to keep the center of the ball away from the cowcatcher. And the airspeed is represented by the diameter of the ball, which means that the area of the ball, which is really what your eye perceives as bigness, the area of the ball is dynamic pressure. And so that's actually what's relevant for producing lift.
So the ball is changing in circumference.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
So talk me through, if you can do so in mm-hmm. words, what are the mental processes that I'm going through when I start to get in trouble? I've got the instruments that I may be accustomed to, but I'm not interpreting them as I'm in trouble, and then it's supplemented by airball. What am I thinking?
Well, so my hope is that in your day-to-day flying, you're making a habit of constantly referring to the airball. And you're doing that not so much to fly by it and fixate on it, but to check it every once in a while and make sure that you're on target.
Like it's part of any instrument scan.
Exactly. Yeah. And so getting into trouble, I guess, my hope is that people using this instrument will be more inclined to develop good habits to make their turns coordinated and to also make a habit of checking it. Without some training, without believing in the instrument, without believing in the fact that it can help you and trying to help it help you, our goal is forfeit. But on the other hand, what we're trying to do is to invest in our pilots.
As a flight instructor myself, one of the things that I'm challenged with, especially in the more technically advanced aircraft, is how do you manage the automation in relation to just looking outside and making sure you understand what's going on in the world around you, not just inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like what you've done is you've addressed some of this by making this a fairly intuitive display that doesn't require a lot of interpretation, so that you can make the appropriate adjustments almost automatically.
That is indeed my hope.
Yeah, very good.
So we've been talking with Ihab Awad about your project, Airball, which won the Founders Innovation Prize this week. We haven't talked about you, though. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about your flying.
I'm a, by training, originally a mechanical engineer. All the work that I've done that has made me any money really has been as a software engineer, and right now I work as a programmer for Google in Silicon Valley. As for the flying I've done, I've been a lifelong aviation fan, but have come to flying relatively recently. A couple of years ago, I started with my sport pilot license, and right now I have about 150 hours, most of them in a Cessna Skycatcher.
Now, was there a specific incident that drove you to start thinking about something like this?
No, not at all. I think it was Asiana and the thinking about what the instruments we have now should or should not have and what we could do better.
It sounds like you're well on your way to accomplishing that goal.
I hope so, for the good of us all.
Yeah.
That's Ihab Awad, the winner of the first EAA Founders Innovation Prize. Thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
For Paul Preidecker and Digital Dave, I'm Stuck Mike.